Recording in.
Okay, welcome back to Malachim Aleph. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Malachim Aleph. So last week we basically learned about Adonia or Adoniyahu. You know, one of those names that's sometimes spelled Adonia and sometimes Adoniyahu. Adonia, his rebellion, and we learned about Nathan and Bathsheba's strategy as to how they were going to, you know, quell this rebellion and make sure that Shlomo was appointed the next king. So we learned about Bathsheba coming in, making her case, and then right after she came in, before she was done, Nathan would come in. Nathan the Navi would come in, and he would make the same case to strengthen the case that Bathsheba was making. We read those psukim last week, and if I'm not mistaken, I think we got up to through Pasuk Chaf Zayin. We read them quickly because it was essentially just, you know, them repeating the same arguments to David. But I think we got through Pasuk Chaf Zayin, which was the end of Nathan's pitch, so to speak, to David to make sure that Shlomo would be the king. Okay, so now we're up to David's response. Vayan HaMelech David Vayomer. So David responds to Bathsheba and Nathan, who are presumably both there. Vayomer, and he says, Kiru li levasheva. Call Bathsheba to me. Vatovo lifnei hamelech, vatamo lifnei hamelech. And she approaches and stands before the king. And, you know, the Mefarshim here all struggle with, wasn't she there? What do you mean, call Bathsheba? She was standing right there. She was talking. And then Nathan came in and he started talking. So what happened? She didn't leave. She didn't leave when Nathan was talking. So the Radak says, Pashup Pshat is that she was still in the room, but she had stepped away a little bit. Once Nathan came in, the Navi came in. He was talking to David, so she felt it was not becoming for her to stay there. So she took a few steps back. She was still in the room, but she was just a few steps back. And David said, you know, essentially motioned her to come close. We did learn, maybe even two times ago, we did learn the Medrash on this Pasuk that David was calling her for Tashmish Amita, for relations, because Avishag challenged him, essentially saying he was too old to have relations anymore, and he wanted to essentially prove her wrong. The Radak quotes this Medrash on the Pasuk, and he says that this is a very difficult Medrash to understand. Since to think that David would call her for Tashmish just to prove Avishag wrong seems a very ludicrous. So the Radak is uncomfortable with the Medrash, but that's the Medrash Chazal. Probably there's some depth behind it, which I don't know. But that's what he's. That's what. That's his. That's his challenge with it. And also, the Mitzvah David points out also that she didn't want David to think that she was put up to this by Nasa. So had she stuck around and she's talking, and now Nasa comes and they both stay there, so then David's going to feel like, oh, this was a ploy. This was a plot to kind of double team me, so to speak. And he would think that it has less validity, perhaps, or less substance. But if she comes, and then almost, you know, seemingly separately, Nathan comes also with the same argument, so then, okay, now I got to take this seriously. Bathsheba's coming, and Nathan's coming, and presumably they're coming independent of each other. So she wanted to make it seem like they were coming independent of each other. You know, is that Kenevas Das? Is not Kenevas Das? You know, I don't know. It's not going to get into that right now. But that's what she wanted to make it seem. And that's why she stepped away when Nathan came, to make it seem like, no, I have my argument, he has his argument, we're not here together, and you should listen to both of us. That was what Bathsheba was, that was her goal. Pasuk Chaf Tes. Vayishava HaMelech Vayomar. And David takes a shvua. He takes a shvua and he says, Chai Hashem, Asher Poda Esnavshi Mikol Tzora, by the life of Hashem, which is, of course, the language of an oath. He's swearing that by the name of Hashem, who saved me from every tzara. This is David's M.O., so to speak, right? This is, you know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu saved me throughout my life. I've encountered all these tzaras, and always Hashem saves me. Pasuk Lamed, ki kasher nishbati loch b'Hashem Elokei Yisrael le'mor ki shlomo v'neichim loch acharai. Just like I promised to you in the past. Remember, we spoke about this. That David had already promised to Bathsheba that Shlomo would take over after he was done being king. V'hu yeshev al kisi tachtoi, and he will sit on my throne instead of me. Ki kein ese hayom hazeh. That's what I'm going to do today. Now, the Mitzudas Damit points out here that he wasn't just affirming his previous promise. He was saying that I'm going to do it today. I'm not going to wait until I die. My Shavua, my promise to you last time was that after I die, Shlomo will take over. That was my Shavua. That was my promise. But now I'm going to go a step further. And I'm going to make him king even today in my lifetime. In my lifetime. And this is very, you know, wise on David's part. We don't see, this is not what Bathsheba asks. But Bathsheba and Nathan were not making the case that this should happen. They were asking that Shlomo should be the king after David dies. But David decides that, you know what, especially perhaps with Avshalom's rebellion in the rearview mirror, and now Adonijah's rebellion happening, David realizes I have to take action, and I have to do it in a decisive way where people realize very clearly what my intention is. And if I wait till after I die, who knows, things get lost in communication. Is that who we really wanted to appoint, et cetera, et cetera. So this way, I'm going to appoint him as a king while I am still alive. And we find, and we'll talk about Yehoshua in a second, Yehoshua was also like this, right? Because that there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. He told Moshe to do this. But Yehoshua was appointed as the next leader while Moshe was still alive. And Rashi on Chumash makes the point that Moshe did that specifically because he wanted to show the people that Yehoshua is big enough that even in Moshe's lifetime, he can still take the reins. He can still lead, even when Moshe is still alive. And honestly, as a leader, there's no smarter way to ensure the continuity of your institution, whatever that institution is. Here it's Klal Yisrael, right? There's no greater way to ensure that consistency and continuity than appointing the next leader while you still have the power to do so. As we've seen, unfortunately, in history, world history, and Jewish history, when there's a vacuum of leadership, All sorts of problems ensue. When the leader is selected by the previous leader, then things are very nice, very clear, and often it's a seamless transition. Not always, but often it's a seamless transition.
Doesn't it have to be anointed by a Navi?
Well, we'll get there. The answer is yes, and we'll get there. He will be anointed. He's going to get anointed today.
He's going to get anointed today.
Yep.
But not by the king, by the Navi.
We'll see. Yeah. Stay tuned. Yeah. So, and again, you know, I mean, you see this in the Hasidic world, right? When the Rebbe's, you know, appoint the next Rebbe, things are clear. When they don't, you have Machlokes, and you have this, and you have, this Hasidus, it becomes a big mess, right? So when you have clarity as to who's taking over, things are very glatt and they're clear, you know, and now sometimes you find that at Levayas, you know, of big people, you find sometimes that at the Levaya, they announce that who the successor is. And this was, you know, the tzava of the Nifter was that such and such, you know, this son should succeed him in the capacity, whatever. I remember, I think Rav Landau, when he passed away from Bnei Brak, you know, the big Rav of Bnei Brak, who's, he runs a big kashrus in Bnei Brak. So I believe when he was Nifter, I think at the Levaya, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. And a huge Levaya with thousands of people. And I think that at Levaya, they announced, you know, who was taking over. I'm pretty sure Rav David's Levaya. I think Rav David Feinstein, if I'm not mistaken. At Rav David's Levaya, they announced who was going to take over as the Rosh Hashiva of MTJ. And one of his sons, you know, took over. And whatever it was, you know, they made things clear. You know, the clearer it is, then the smoother the transition and the more, you know, continuity the institution can have. Good question. I think that in general, people do want to do that. It doesn't always work out. You know, obviously, if there's a sudden patira, right, then it's not planned. And then, for whatever reason. I mean, listen, you know, one of the, I mean, you have, I can name, you know, probably five chassidus where you have this issue, right? But you think of Lubavitch, right? The Lubavitch Rebbe was Nifter. He didn't appoint anyone. He had no sons, but he could have appointed someone. He could have appointed a Talmud. He was the son-in-law, correct. But I'm saying, but he could have appointed someone in his lifetime, right, to take over when he died. He could have appointed it. He didn't. And then what happened was you have a big, a big mess, a big Efkerus, yeah, and you have this and this group and that group, you know, Satmar also, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you have all these stories where you know, there's no clear leadership. And then there's a Machlokes, you know, or in Chabad's case, you have a lack of leadership. And just every, you know, Ish Kalayashu Rein of Yasta, you have different groups and different factions, everybody's doing their own thing. you know, it's a big chisar. It could be in his case he wasn't well at the end, so maybe that's why he didn't choose someone. So you know, sometimes you have other reasons why you know why it happens. Either it's sudden or the person's not well and they can't choose. Not so simple. But I think that people do recognize that that is the ideal, you know, to be able to do that. Okay, pasuk lamed aleph. Vatikod Batsheva apayim eretz. Batsheva is relieved. She's thrilled. Baruch Hashem. David, he didn't have to be convinced, right? He knew it, he heard it, and he said right away that it's going to happen. She bows down to him with gratitude. Vatishtachu l'melech vatomer, yichi Adoni ha-melech David le'olam. Long live King David forever. Now, what does that mean, le'olam? What do you mean? A person can't live forever, right? So yichi ha-melech presumably means that the king should live a long life, right? You know, king should live a long life. What does le'olam mean?
It's an old guy.
To die, a little bit longer, maybe. But what's la'olam? La'olam means forever.
Meaning 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Oh, so many of the mafarshim say it must be, because she said la'olam, it must be that she was referring to spiritually. She wasn't talking about physical life. Physical life, obviously, he wasn't going to live that much longer. He was an old man already. You know, he had, who knows, a couple of years or whatever he had left. But he wasn't going to live a long, long life, you know, ahead of him. And she meant spiritually that, excuse me, that spiritually, all of his midos and all of his ma'asim tovim should continue, you know, in his chus forever. That was the idea. Generally, though, it means that the king should be successful and live a long life. That's what the Radak points out. Generally, what Yechi HaMelech you find all the time, and we're going to see it more in the context of Shlomo. But generally, that's what it means. He should be successful in a long life. But here it means something spiritual. Now the Malbim, of course, the Malbim goes a step deeper, and the Malbim says that Yichi Adoni HaMelech David LeOlam. What she was really saying is that when Shlomo takes over as the Melech, that should be a living continuation of David's Malchus. She was really giving a bracha not just for David, but she was giving a bracha for her son Shlomo also, and not just for her son Shlomo, but for all of the kings that are going to descend from Malchus based David. Essentially giving a bracha that this should be a continuous chain of Malchus based David and all a manifestation of David HaMelech. And that's why what do we call it? We call it Malchus based David, right? We call it Malchus based David. This is the Davidic dynasty. And this was the bracha that she was giving, that Shlomo and all the kings that come after him should be a continuation and have a little bit of that David in them. The Malbim ends off with just about five or six words, very enigmatic. And he writes that based on the sod, what's the sod? The secrets, the deep secrets. He says this is what she was referring to, the idea of David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Right, we know the famous song, everybody, David, right? Everybody sings. Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. What is Chai V'Kayim? Now everybody sings it, nobody really knows what it means. I myself don't know what it means. But the Malbim says there's a deep sod here. There's a deep secret. Probably based on Kabbalah and other ideas that something about David lives on. David, of course, died as a person, as a human being. David died, but something about David and who he was and the Malchus lives on in Klal Yisrael, and that's what she was referring to. That's based on like probably a Kabbalistic idea, but I'm just throwing it out there just to whet your appetites. And but that's all I can share with you. Not that I know more. I don't know anymore. But that's all I can glean. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Beis by Yomer HaMelech David. Kiruli Litzadok HaKohen Ulenasan HaNavi Ulivnayahu Ben Yehoyada Vayavo'u Lifnei HaMelech. Now David says, we're going to do this. We're going to do it right. So call the following three individuals that I need before me. Number one, the Kohen Gadol, Tzadok. Tzadok was the Kohen Gadol. Number two, the Navi. That was Nasan, of course, was the Navi. And number three, the Sanhedrin. Benayahu Ben Yehoyada was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. Calls these three individuals. And we're going to do this right. Why? Again, because as the Malbim points out here, David sees what happens when you don't do things right. There's machlokes. And this was even no fault of his own. Avshalom, Adonia, I don't want any more machlokes. Let's settle this once and for all. We're going to do it. We're going to do it decisively. We're going to do it clearly. Let's get all of the big heads, right? The Kohen Gadol, the Navi, the head of the Sanhedrin. And this is how we're going to appoint the next king. So presumably he's talking to. So Nasan's there. You're right. Nasan is there. Nasan is there. Yeah, but So presumably he's talking to his avadim, to his servants that are there, and Nasan is there, but he probably just throws them in, saying, like, I want this group to be assembled. Nasan's here already, get the other two. It's a good point. Who? Yoav's with Adonia. Yoav's with Adonia. We'll read one more thing about Yoav, but Yoav's with Adonia. Shlomo's not here.
You need him to come?
You need him. Yeah. Right. Well, no. We'll see. He's not going to come. They're going to go to him. Right? You don't call the king to you. You go to the king. Okay? Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayomer Amelech Lohem. So the king says to them, Kichu imachem es avdei Adoneichem. Take my servants with you. The royal servants, the royal guard. Vihir kavtem es Shlomo b'ni al hapirda asheli. And ride him. Right, go to Shlomo and ride him on my mule. Right, he had a royal mule. Apparently, that's what he rode. Asheliva ho radetem oso el Gichon, and bring him down to the Gichon. What's the Gichon? So that's a spring. It's the same spring as the Shiloach. Familiar with the Shiloach spring? Right, it's down the hill or down the mountain in Yerushalayim. The Shiloach spring is where they got the water. For the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, right? The Mishnah in Sukkot says that they used to go down with this golden vessel and they used to draw water from the Mei Shiloach. So the Mei Shiloach was like considered to be a very chashuv and holy spring, and that's where I want you to bring Shlomo. And of course, what are they going to do? They're going to anoint him by the spring. Now, what's the idea of anointing him by the spring? So anointing him by the spring is a siman. That just like a spring, it keeps going, right? There's no end. It doesn't stop. A spring keeps going. So too, the Malchus of Shlomo should continue forever. And again, forever doesn't mean that he's going to be the king forever, but he and his successors will be the kings forever. This will be a continuous dynasty forever, uninterrupted and unstoppable. That was part of the siman of the Shiloach. The Malbim also says, that was shared by Rashi. The Malbim also says, that part of the symbolism of the Shiloach also is that the Shiloach is a spring. It's not a raging river. Springs are calm. They're peaceful. They run, you know, so to speak, quietly. So too, Shlomo's Malchus should be peaceful and uneventful. And we are going to learn that Shlomo's Malchus was very peaceful. It was a very peaceful time for Klal Yisrael throughout Shlomo's Malchus. And this was part of the Kavana of David, that he wanted Shlomo specifically anointed by the Shiloach, that this symbolism should be with him as he's anointed as the new king.
Rabbi, couldn't yes. David have saved a lot of trouble if he had called Adoni and called the other people thinking they were going to be king and brought them there and told them this is the deal?
Maybe. I hear what you're saying, right? Aaron's saying maybe, why didn't David just call Adonia? And bring him in and sit him down and have a conversation. It could be, but it could be he also realized that, listen, Adonia doesn't want to be spoken to, he wants to be the king. So I need to show decisively that he's not the king, and this is how I'm going to do it. I don't need to talk to him. You know, he took this crown by himself, Adonia. So I don't need to talk to him, I don't need to have a conversation with him. I'm going to set the record straight, and that's what he's going to live by. And we see that's what happens. You know, Adonijah gets the message very quickly. We'll see that this is what David wants. Okay, pasuk lamid dalet umashach oso sham tzadok hakohen v'nasan anavi lemelech al Yisrael, and there tzadok the kohen gadol nasan the navi, they anoint Shlomo as the king over Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry, David is still talking here. He's telling them that this is what they should do. Usekatem b'shofar, blow the shofar as a sign, as a, you know, out of simcha perhaps, or also as a, you know, to publicize. And the Sabbat says to publicize that this just happened. Va'amartem yichi hamelech Shlomo, and I want you to say yichi hamelech Shlomo, long live the king Shlomo. And now the Radak points out, it's interesting that if you think about it. There was no real necessity to anoint him. There was no real necessity to anoint him. This whole anointing that he's telling them to do, right? Umashach v'so sham tzadok hakohen l'melech al Yisrael, it's unnecessary. Why is the anointing unnecessary? because the Radak points out that when David was anointed as the king, it wasn't just for him. It was for his family and for the dynasty. There was no need for any more anointing. His son, whoever that son that he chose to be the successor, would be the next king, and there was no need for anointing. So why did David anoint Shlomo if it was unnecessary? And he said he anointed him just because of this rebellion, because of the machlokas. He was doing this unnecessarily. Well, it wasn't necessary, but he wanted to set the record straight. He's the king. So he wanted to do this in a very public way, in a way that no one could dispute. Shlomo was the king. He was anointed. He was announced. There was a shofar. This was final and decisive that he was the king, because again, he wanted to avoid any wishy-washy, any machlokas, any little pesach, any little opening that someone could argue, could make a claim, could make a taina. Nothing. Clear. He's anointed. He's publicized. He's the king. Done.
He didn't want another story like he had with Avshalom.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. Exactly right. I hear you. Right? Stronger case if David would have been there also. Yeah. Could be that he wasn't really well enough to, we don't know. We know he was old and he wasn't well. So could be he wasn't well enough to schlep and to travel, and, he was an old man. So, listen, when you send the Navi and the Kohen Gadol and the Rosh of the Sanhedrin, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's not like sending just some servants.
David was the king. He wasn't going to go to Shlomo.
Okay. Could be also. It could be also it was beneath him, so to speak, to go to Shlomo if he was the king. Could be also. Yep. The Radak points out one also interesting thing that Yechi HaMelech, again, we translate Yechi HaMelech, long live the king, because that's how we're familiar with it from the movies, right? Long live the king. But in reality, the Radak says Yechi, life is all about Hatzlacha. If a person does not find Hatzlacha in their life, then what's it worth, right? Matzliach and Chaim is related, yeah. So if a person lives a life that is not considered a successful life, so what's it worth? You almost feel like it's not worth living. So Yechi HaMelech means he should live. What do you mean live? Live successfully. His malchus should be successful. That's a real life. That's a real life for a king. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Va'alitzem Acharov Uva V'yoshav Al Kisi. And now, after you anoint him, he's going to go up, right? Presumably to Yerushalayim or whatever. And you should follow him. Why? Because if Shlomo's walking, again, this is he wants it public, entourage. Shlomo's walking, and the Kohen Gadol and the Navi and the Rosh of the Sanhedrin are walking behind him. That shows chashivus for Shlomo, right? That shows chashivus as the Mitzudas David for Shlomo. He should come, the Yoshav Al Kisi, and he should sit on my throne, the Yimloch Tachtoi, and he should be the king in place of me. The also tzivisi lihios nagid al Yisrael the al Yehuda. He is the one that I am commanding that he should be the king. This is not negative. It's not a rebellion. It's not him encroaching. This is my tzivoy, right? Also tzivisi. This is my command. This is what I want to happen now. And also, this should be united, al Yisrael ve al Yehuda. I don't want a splintering. I don't want two malchios. Now, we know, unfortunately, after Shlomo, it will splinter, as we learned about in the Hakdama. After Shlomo, it's going to splinter into the two Malchios. But for the time being, says Shlomo, I want unification. I want united. I want everybody together in this. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayan b'Noyahu v'Yehoyada es HaMelech v'Yomer, Amen. Kein Yomar Hashem Elokei Adoni HaMelech. He says, Amen. That, and Rashi says, he's saying the Amen to the Yechi HaMelech Shlomo. That's what the Amen is too, that he should live and be successful. And Kain Yomar Hashem Elokei Adonai HaMelech, that with that Emir Tzah Hashem, everything that you say, like we say, right, from your mouth to God's ears, right? That everything you say should HaKadosh Baruch Hu should agree to, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be behind 100%. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Okay. Kasher Hayah Hashem Im Adonai HaMelech. And he's continuing now, B'Nayahu, with this bracha, that just like Hashem was with you, my master, the king, Kein Yihyeh Im Shlomo, so too he should be with Shlomo. V'Gadel Es Kiso Mikisei Adoni HaMelech David. And his throne should be even greater than your throne. Wow, interesting thing to say, right? And his throne should be even greater than your throne. Now, what does that mean? First of all, wouldn't that make David feel badly? Says Rashi, absolutely not. Rashi says that a parent doesn't get jealous from the success of their child. Right? And in fact, there's one of the Mefarshim later. Hold on a second. Who is it? I forget who it is offhand. One of the Mefarshim later says, the Radak says later in Pasuk Mem Zayin, that there's only two people that a person will not be jealous of. Their child and their Talmud and their student. If your child succeeds more than you, that makes you proud, not jealous. If your student succeeds more than you, it makes you proud, not jealous. Anybody else? We're jealous. Anyone else that's more successful than us, we're jealous. But our child, our student, because why? Because we had a hand in it, right? It was because of something that we did. And look how they grew. We're not jealous of that. And they say the source of not getting jealous of you from your child is right here, this story of Shlomo and David. What's the source that a person doesn't get jealous from their Talmud? Moshe and Yoshua. Moshe and Yoshua, that's the source that even in Moshe's lifetime, Yoshua already took the reins. And Moshe wasn't upset. He wasn't jealous. Here too, even in David's lifetime, Shlomo's becoming the king. David has no problem. He has no problem, no issue whatsoever. He wants his son to be successful. Why should he be greater? Like, what's this bracha that he should be greater? So the Malbim says it's Pashut. He's a Melech ben Melech. It's one thing to have a king, David, who's the king. He's the son of Yishai. Yishai was a nice guy. He wasn't the king, right? But here, a Melech ben Melech, as the Malbim says, he has Chus Avos. The Malchus is a Yerusha for him. That's going to be even greater. He's destined for greatness, even greater than David. How can he not be? How can he not be? He's a Melech ben Melech. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Vayere Tzadok HaKohen ben Asanan Ovinu v'Noyahu ben Yehoyada. So they went down to get Shlomo. They are crazy about Placey. Crazy about Placey. We've discussed them in the past, the crazy and the Placey. The Radak and the Mefarshim always bring different interpretations of who they were. They were two different families. Perhaps the Rashi quotes the Targum Yonasan that maybe they were two groups of soldiers. They were the archers and the slingshot soldiers. The Medrash, of course, always is that the Krasi of the Placey is always the Urm V'Tum. That's always the Medrash. Pashup Shat is that they were part of the army. But Medrash is always that the Krasi and the Placey refer to the Urm V'Tumim. Vayarkivu Shlomo Apirdas HaMelech David. And they put Shlomo on the mule of David HaMelech. And again, nobody rides the king's donkey, right? Nobody rides the king's mule if not for someone who's going to be the king. Vayolichu oso al Gichon, and they bring him down to Gichon, to this Shiloach, to the spring. Pasuk Lamites. Vayikach Tzadok HaKohen as Keren HaShemen min HaOhel. Tzadok the Kohen takes the Keren HaShemen. There was a horn that was filled with oil. We've discussed this Keren HaShemen. I remember back when Shmuel was anointing David, there were differences in how they were anointed. Only David was anointed with a Keren. Shaul was anointed with a different method. So that there was a difference in that. This is the real anointing way with the Keren HaShemen. Min HaOhel. What's the Ohel? So the Radak says, Pashup Shad is referring to the Ohel Moed. And he says, we know that in the Ohel Moed, next to the Aron, they kept a Tzinsenes Haman. We just had Parashas Beshalach. We read about the Mun. So there was a little jar of Mun that was kept by the, as Rashi points out in Parashas Beshalach, that was kept by the Aron. And also the Shemen HaMishcha. This anointing oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, which was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, was also kept by the Aron. So this was the Ohel Moed that was where the Aron used to be. Now, the Ohel Moed at this point, the Radak says, was in Givon. Right? Remember, there's no Beis Hamikdash yet. So we're still holding in the Mishkan era. The Mishkan was in Givon, and that's where the Ohel Moed was. The Aron, however, says the Radak, wasn't there. Because the Aron, if you remember, back to Shmuel, the Aron was in Yerushalayim because it had been taken out for the War of the Plishtim. It had been returned, and David brought it to Yerushalayim. And if you remember, he made a structure like a temporary tent to house the Aron. So the Aron was not where the Ohel Moed was. The Radak says maybe there were two Aronos at this time. You know, that's a whole discussion. Maybe there was one Aron with the Shivrei Luchos, with the broken Luchos, one Aron with the other Luchos. Okay, where was the oil? So the Radak says, Pashup Shat, he thinks the oil was in the Ohel Moed. And HaOhel is referring to the Ohel Moed, not by the Aron. That's what he thinks. He says that this horn was the exact shear of oil that was necessary to anoint the king. And he says that Shlomo was actually anointed twice, even though we learned that he didn't really have to be anointed at all. Right? This whole anointing business anyways was only just to publicize it, to make it clear. But Shlomo was really anointed twice, once here by the people of Yerushalayim, again with a little bit more fanfare. We'll learn about with all of Klal Yisrael. At that time also they anointed Tzadok as the Kohen Gadol. They brought a lot of Karbanos at that time. But that's how the Radak understands that's where this oil is. The Mitzudas David, though, he feels that the oil was Ha'ohel, was referring to the tent in Yerushalayim. He doesn't think that the oil was in Givon, in the Ol Moed. He thinks it was in the tent in Yerushalayim. Okay, but that's the Machlokas. Vayimshach es Shlomo, they anoint Shlomo. Vayitzku ba'shofar, they blow the shofar to publicly proclaim that Shlomo was the king. Vayomru kol ha'om yechi ha'melech Shlomo, and they say, yechi ha'melech Shlomo, as we talked about. Pasuk mem, vayalu kol ha'om acharov. So all of the nation comes, right, to follow Shlomo after he's anointed as the king. This is a big deal. New king is anointed. So they come and they follow him. V'ha'om mechalalim b'chalilim. By the way, la'avdil, we can understand a little bit, right, what's going on in England now. You know that, whatever, king, right, Prince Charles, King Charles, he's the new king. So this is it's a big deal. It's a big deal in England. You know, we Americans have no clue what this is all about. You know, but in England, they still have it. It's a very big deal when someone becomes anointed as a king. So here you have Lahavdil, Elif Alfi Avdol, so you have Shlomo Melo taking over for David. This is big. So everybody's playing instruments. They're playing the flute. Usmeichim Simcha Gidola. It's like a big party. And you imagine like the Achnas and Sefer Torah trucks. You know, this is what, this was a big party. But Tibaka Ha'aretz Bekolam, which is an exaggeration, the Mefarshim point out. But it's almost like as loud as an earthquake. It's like, you know, like the ground split because of this great noise. There's a tremendous amount of noise from this party and the singing and the dancing and the music. This was a big rash. Now, if they're making a lot of noise, who's going to hear? Pasuk Memalef, Vayishla Adoniyahu v'chol akruim asherito. So Adoniyahu and his guests, all of a sudden they hear. Well, what is it? What is that? What's all that noise? What's all that noise we hear? Remember, Adoniyahu himself threw a big party. His party was ending. His party was winding down. Things had quieted down by him, and all of a sudden he hears a big commotion now. Vayishma Yoav es kol ha-shofar. Yoav hears the shofar. The Malbim points out, amazingly, as only the Malbim can, Yoav hears something that everybody else doesn't. Everybody else, Adoniyahu v'chol ha-kruim, what do they hear? They just hear the commotion. Yoav is a general. He's a military man. He hears the shofar. Because the shofar, to someone in the military at that time, that was a signal. That was a signal that something big is happening. This is not just any commotion. This is something big. And Yoav is getting nervous. Vayomer madua kol hakiria homa. What's going on? What's all this commotion? What's all this commotion in the city? What's happening here? Pasuk membeis. Odenu medaber, they're still talking, right? They're talking to each other. You know what's going on. Hinei Yonasan ben Evyasar Hakohen, ba Yonasan, the son of Evyasar Hakohen, we've discussed him in the past. He comes. He's part of Adoniah's group, but he wasn't there. The Malbim says he was left behind as a spy, basically to make sure to see what was going on, right? Adoniah and his guests, they all went to party. But they needed to leave some people behind to make sure that everything was proceeding okay. He comes running, panting out of breath. Vayomer Adoniyahu, bo, come, ki ishchayilat of a tov tevaser. You're a good man. You probably have good tidings. You probably have good news. And that's what the Mitzudas David says, that they assume good people bring good news. You're a good man. I'm sure you have good news to share. The Malbim points out, though, that he thinks that maybe Adoniyahu thought, maybe the commotion is for me, right? I left Yonasan ben Evyasar back there to check things out. Maybe the commotion is everybody is excited about me being the king. That's why he said, V'tov Tavaski, no, tell me the good news. Tell me the good news. Everybody's excited that I'm going to be the new king. Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayan Yonasan Vayomer L'Adoniyahu, Avol Adoneinu Amelach David Himlich Shlomo. He said, no, no, sorry. I don't have any good news for you this time. Right? Not what you think. David just anointed Shlomo as the new king. Pasuk Mem Dalin, and he tells them exactly what happened. He said he did this legitimately. Don't think it's not real. It's real. He sent the Kohen Gadol. He sent the Navi. He sent the Sanhedrin. He sent the crazy in the placey. He rode him on the royal donkey, on the royal mule. This is for real. And not just that, but they anointed him as the king, which was David's whole, this was his strategy. He wanted this to be a public anointing. They anointed him as the king in the Gihon, by the Shiloach, by Yalu Misham Semechim. And don't think that the people didn't go along with this. They did go along with it. And they're all rejoicing over the fact that Shlomo is the king. Vatehom Hakirya Huakol Asher Shematan. Well, the commotion that you heard was the joy, not at you being the king, was the joy at Shlomo being anointed as the new king. Boom. Pasuk Mem Vav, Vegam Yoshev Shlomo al Kisei HaMelucha. And he says, and don't think that this is not in effect yet. Don't think that this is just something that's going to happen in the future. Already now, Shlomo is sitting al Kisei HaMelucha. He's taking over already in David's lifetime. Pasuk Mem Zayin, Vegam Bo Avdei HaMelech Levarech Es Adoneinu HaMelech David Leimor. And not just that, but everybody came to give the king a bracha. Yeitev Elokim Eshem Shlomo Mishmecha. They're giving him a bracha that Shlomo's name should be greater than his name. V'yigadol es kiso mikisecha. And Shlomo's malchus should be greater than his malchus. V'yishtachu ha-melech ha-mishkav. And David, lying on his bed, bowed down to Hashem. This is real. This is real. This is really happening. Pasuk Memches, and not just that, not just that other people gave a bracha, v'gam kocha omer ha-melech. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher nasan hayom yoshev al kisi ve'einai ro'os. David HaMelech himself gave a bracha to Shlomo. Baruch Hashem, that I see my successor taking over in my lifetime. Right? Don't think there's anything left for you. There's nothing left for you. Zero. Everything was given to Shlomo. Pasuk Mem Tes, everybody hears this. Everybody is now petrified. And they say, we are out of here. Right? If this is what's going on, we're out. Adon Yahu, it's been nice. Thanks for the meal. We're out. And they all go home. Pasuk Nun, Adon Yahu Yare Mifne Shlomo. Now Adon Yahu is scared. Because if Shlomo is the new king, what did I just do? Morid B'malchus. Right? I just tried to take the kingdom for myself. And now it's very clear. I have no support. It's very clear that Shlomo is the next king. Vayakom, vayelech, vayachazek, bakarnos hamizbeach. He's scared. So he thinks to himself, where's the only place I'll be safe? In the Mishkan. He runs to Yerushalayim, straight into the Mishkan, and holds on to the mizbeach. Because he figures they're not going to kill me here. Right? The holiest place. They're not going to kill me by the Mizbeach. And he just holds on. And he stays there. Almost like a Meshuggah. Right? But he's scared. He's petrified. He doesn't want to be killed. Pasuk Nun Aleph. I'm sorry. That's Yerushalayim. To Givon. He ran to Givon. Right? The Mizbeach is in Givon now. Because that's where the Mishkan is. Only the Aron is in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Nun Aleph. Vayugad l'shlomo leimor. Hinei Adoni Yahu yorei asamelach shlomo. So now the news comes. Everybody sees, you know, this Meshuggah. Adoni Yahu is hanging on to the Mizbeach. So they tell Shlomo, you know, your brother, Adon Yahu, is hanging on to the Mizbeach for dear life. He says, I'm not moving until Shlomo swears that he's not going to kill me. Now, Becharev, interestingly, the Malbim points out that a king, whenever he kills because of a Horah Shah, like not a Misas Beis, the king kills because of a Marib B'malchus or whatever else it is, it's only with scythe, it's only with the sword. That's how the king kills. That's why he says Becharev at the end. And he wants Shlomo to swear. Now, why Kayom, says the Malbim? Because the day that a king is anointed is considered to be a day of chesed. And the custom was that kings used to pardon people on that day. We have Lahavdil now, when the presidents are going out, they pardon everybody on the way out. right? That's not because it's a day of chesed, it's because it's like a last ditch. You know, I still have power for one day, so on the last day they pardon everybody. Here it's the opposite. The day that a king comes in is the day of chesed. That's when the midah of chesed, right? This is for real. This is when the midah of chesed is miskaver. The midah of chesed is strong on that day. So now's the time to pardon people, and that's why people are pardoned on that day. That's why he says, today I want Shlomo to swear. He says, if he acts like a ben chayil, a ben chayil here doesn't mean a soldier, but it means either a faithful servant or someone who's spiritually, you know, spiritually good. But he says, if he's a good guy, if he behaves, I won't touch him. If he behaves, I won't touch him. I'm not swearing. Right? Shlomo doesn't want to take a shvua here. But Shlomo says, just tell him that if he behaves, I won't touch him. However, the imra'a timatsevo hames. But he says, if I find something wrong, if he does something wrong, that's it, he's a goner. And not only that, the Mitzudah Sovet says, even if what he does wrong, he's not deserving of death. I'm going to roll that into this. Right? If he does anything out of line, right? It's like sometimes, you know, guys are late to yeshiva. So they try to work out a plea bargain. You know, they say, Rebbe, don't mark me late today. I won't be late for the next month. So I tell them, and if you are late, I'm going to mark you late for a whole week. You know, like, it's like this kind of a thing. You know, if you do one thing, even if it's not deserving of death, I'm going to kill you because I'm going to roll all this in. Last pasuk in Gimel. Vayishlach ha-melech Shlomo vayoriduhu me'al ha-mizbeach. So Shlomo sends his men. They take him down from the mizbeach. They calm him down. Vayavo vayishtachu la-melech Shlomo. And he comes, he bows down in front of Shlomo, showing his submission to Shlomo ha-melech. Vayomer lo Shlomo leich le-veisecha. Mitzvah Sovet says he was hanging around. He thought Shlomo wanted him to be a servant. Shlomo says, I don't need you here. Thanks, but no thanks. Right? You go home. You've caused enough trouble. You go home. If I need you, I'll call you. Right? But here we have at the end of Perek Aleph, we have very clearly David handing over the reins to Shlomo. Shlomo is anointed. Shlomo is the new king, the Melech Yisrael, in David's lifetime. A very clear transition of power. And Amirtz Hashem will continue to learn about Shlomo's Malchus. I don't know. Question. How old is Shlomo? I don't know.
Rabbi, great movie, Rabbi. Make a great movie.
Make a great movie. Right?
Thank you.
Well put, Aaron. Yeah. All right. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for sending the Zoom.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anytime.